Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hi, everyone. This is Helena Hart. Welcome back to my Master Your Magnetism podcast. I'm talking with Antia Boyd again today, my very good friend and fellow coach. She's a love and dating coach for women. Welcome, Antia. Thank you for joining me again.
Hey, Helena. Always a pleasure to be here.
I had so much fun with you and your family on Christmas just a couple months ago, and I've been wanting to get you back on my podcast ever since then. And today we have a great topic for everyone. We're going to be talking about five feminine traits that make a man go crazy for you no matter where you are in your love life. Is that right?
Correct. And no matter the age or the stage.
Love it. And before we get into this topic, I know you have a free quiz that you're offering for women in my community. Is there anything you want to say about that quickly before we get started?
Yeah, totally. So if you want to attract committed, connected, and long-term relationship without frustration, loneliness, and really wasting time with attracting emotionally unavailable men, then hop on over to my quiz. And I'm sure Helena has a link here in the show notes as well.
Yes, absolutely. That'll be the first link in the show notes or the description. If you're listening on YouTube, just click the title of this video, click where it says five feminine traits that make a man go crazy for you. That'll open up the description. Or if you're listening on my podcast, just scroll down. You might have to click see more if you're listening on Spotify, and that'll be the first link in there. I also have some questions that were sent in from some listeners about this topic, and we'll get to those at the end. But let's dive in, Antia. What's the first thing you wanted to share here today?
Yeah, so the first feminine trait men find irresistible in women is what I call the unicorn effect. You know, so many women try to fit in because they want to be liked, but the opposite is actually true. The more you're true to your own self, your own nature, maybe you have a funny laugh, or maybe you don't know how to say something in English like me when I came from Germany. And, you know, instead of just trying to be someone that you're not, fly your freak flag, I would call it. And that will attract the right man to you. When I met my husband, he just bounced off my super weird statements. And maybe Helena remembers some of them too. I'm like, how does that translate into English? I don't know. But I just knew he was my man. And he knew that who he met is really who I am. Because that's another piece, is oftentimes we sell ourselves as someone that we're not, especially on a first or second date. Maybe we laugh when something is actually not funny. And so we're handing a man a resume that's actually not true to ourselves. And then the man actually loses interest. So I always say, just be you, be the unicorn from the get-go.
It's so true. My husband has actually told me that when we first started dating, it was just these little moments where he saw my awkwardness or my quirkiness or something I was fixated on that maybe other people might find a little neurotic or annoying. In those moments, he was like, I saw you. I got your essence. I knew who you were. And I was hooked. Like, there was no getting rid of me from that point on. And it's funny because I couldn't have prepared for that. I couldn't have created some script of these perfect things to say to him in order for him to get who I was. And so it's true. If you want the right man to really fall for you, you have to show up as your authentic self from the beginning. And that includes what you might perceive to be your flaws or insecurities. It's those million little things that you have no idea that you're doing that makes you unique and special. So I love what you're sharing here. Antia, do you have anything else you want to say about that one?
Oh, I'm glad that you say that. So the question, of course, becomes, well, how in the heck do I even get there if yes. I had a narcissistic mom, if I had an emotionally unavailable dad who actually told me, who do you think you are, when you were actually stepping into your own self-expression? So it takes a moment to actually start to heal your inner child. And I talk about it in my program all the time, in order to feel safe to be unique. Because there's something to be said, Helena, about feeling safe to actually express yourself. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I know it can be difficult. A lot of people say, oh, just be yourself and love yourself. But how do you do that? So I know you do some of that deep inner work with your clients. Is there anything you want to share quickly here for people to sort of dip their toe into this if they're not used to feeling safe being their true authentic selves?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's actually like embracing what other people judge about you. You know, I have clients all the time who had like a mentally ill mom or an emotionally abusive mom or dad. And they maybe said, you're too loud or you're too arrogant or whatever the case may be. So the work that we do, this of course sounds complex, is actually you embracing that if somebody were to say, oh, you're so arrogant, you're so full of yourself, because that oftentimes keeps us from actually showing up authentically and confidently. I actually teach that you just say, well, thanks for noticing. And the reason why is because we have all these parts inside of ourselves. Now, we're not expressing all of these parts, but we're all capable of expressing these parts. So again, gets a little bit more complex, but it's absolutely powerful. I mean, from that, we have more marriages than I can count, Helena, where women just said, you mean I get to be just me? You mean if a man tells me I'm too much, I get to just say, sure, I am. And it's a total breakthrough. It's a whole different world.
Absolutely. It's about trusting that the right person is going to see you for who you are. And that's actually what's going to make them fall in love, not some facade you're putting on trying to be cool and perfect all the time. It's really, really important. Not that you just want to show up and you're a mess and you haven't done any work on yourself and you're like, you just need to love me as I am. But it's about really loving those shadow parts of yourself that you might want to hide from others. And we could probably do a whole episode just on that. But are we ready to move into the second feminine trait here, Antia?
Yeah, the second trait men find irresistible in women is being self-invested. One quote that I always run through our program is the quality of men that you attract into your life is directly proportional to the relationship you have to yourself. So it all comes back to the self. A lot of us are trained that the more I focus and give to other people, the more they give to me. Well, tell someone that who is recovering from a narcissistic abusive relationship and you know that's a bunch of bogus. But what's actually true is that when you focus on yourself, on what makes you happy, what brings you joy, you know, prioritizing yourself, even after you get to know this man, and even when he asks you, hey, are you available on Thursday night? And if you had a Pilates class on Thursday night, you keep that Pilates class on Thursday night. As opposed to what women start to do, at least the ones that come to me, is they become other invested. Mm-hmm. Right? Out of the sudden, they cancel their Pilates on Thursday, they cancel their cocktail out with their girlfriends on Friday so they can spend more time with the man. And then they're actually unconsciously communicating that they put more value on the man than they put on themselves and their own life and their own interests.
It's so true. It's a little counterintuitive too, because we've all been taught that giving is better than receiving. And we tend to place our value and our worth on what we can do for someone else or give to them or accomplish. But when we're talking about masculine and feminine energy here, I always say that men fall in love when they're giving to us, not the other way around. If you're doing something and giving to them and canceling all your plans and putting the man at the top of your priority list, especially if he's not doing that for you, his attraction for you will start to fade very quickly. So I think that's so important. Is there anything else you want to say on this one?
And of course, what that takes is feeling safe to receive. Mm-hmm. So if I don't feel safe to be seen or to receive, then I would be like, no, what can I do for you? And what gift can I give you? And that is, of course, because she has no capacity to receive. She needs to immediately, quote unquote, return the favor, and not understanding that it actually brings a man a ton of purpose and drive and activates that masculine inside of him even more and honors him by you receiving that. And that there are no other strings attached to it. Because that's another thing that so many women are concerned of, that now they're owed a man in some way, shape, or form.
That's so true. We could probably do a whole nother episode just on this. It can be difficult to receive, especially if you were brought up with that programming, which I think most of us were, that it's better to give and that's how you make someone fall in love with you. It's actually just the opposite. I've really found the more you are invested in yourself, the more you're focused on yourself and your own life. That's what allows you to be open and more soft and vulnerable when you're with a man. Because if you're just focused on him and why hasn't he called me, and you're staring at your phone and feeling resentful because you've been doing so much and you don't feel like you're getting that same amount of effort back in return, it's hard to truly be open with a guy. And a man can feel that in your energy and in your vibe. So a lot of women are afraid that, oh, if I take my focus off of him for a second and focus on myself and what I want to do, they think the guy is going to lose interest or the relationship will fizzle out. But often the opposite happens. He will come closer, actually, if he's the right man for you. Have you found that as well?
Oh, 100%, because now the man is asking more like, oh, what else can I do for her? Or, oh, she's treating herself like a queen. You know, there's this one example of some 8-figure entrepreneur who had a matchmaker write his profile. And in his profile, he said, I will treat you like a queen, but you have to know that you are one. And a queen is self-invested. A queen is carrying herself in a certain way. A queen is not rushing to the date with her hair half done and just barely getting home from work. But she's like, you know, I can actually be grounded and I can feel confident and feel in my body and feel good about myself before I go on the date.
Absolutely. This is such important information, Antia. I love everything you're sharing. Are you ready for that third feminine trait?
100%. And that is charisma. The reason why that's such a feminine trait that men find irresistible, because it really says you have a huge range of emotions. So funny story. This morning, my 2-year-old has never done this before. And Helena may relate to that, but my little one likes to make some noises. And so this morning, she decided to make a noise like a lion. And then the next moment, she said with her peep mouse voice, like, ah! And so on and so on. And I said to my husband, this is charisma. She has this range of emotions where she goes into her like wild woman or wild baby. And then she goes into her completely cute little girl voice. And charisma really means you're in touch with all of your emotions. You love your anger, your rage, your sadness, your grief, your happiness, your joy. And you don't have a judgment towards any of them. As opposed to, you know, sometimes women come to me, well, actually all the time, and they either judge the rage part inside of themselves because they're like, well, my dad was such a rage monster when I was growing up, so I will never be like this. Or they were taught, there's no crying in this house. Are you crying? Suck it up. Functioning over feeling. You just got to perform. And so they learn, for one reason or another, it's not safe to express one or the other emotion. And then, of course, they show up as sort of semi-inauthentic because something is missing. And even though a man may not necessarily say exactly what it is, he can sense that something is off, that something is missing. And then he goes missing at some point.
Absolutely. A man can feel it in your energy. We can too. I think all people are pretty sensitive to this. When what you're conveying on the outside with your words and your body language is not congruent or consistent with what you're feeling on the inside, there's a disconnect there. And a man will start to feel like he can't trust you, just like you might feel that way with someone else. If you can tell that they're stuffing something down, maybe they're feeling really angry, but they're just really shut down on the outside. That's just one example. There's so many different examples we could talk about here, but it's a little bit terrifying when someone is kind of shutting themselves off or not fully embracing and expressing what they're feeling on the inside. And it's really difficult to do this if you're not used to it. Do you have any tips for people who maybe grew up with that programming, like you talked about, to not cry or not show their emotions, to sort of get themselves a little more comfortable with that?
Yeah. So for me personally, I was like a rock. So I didn't cry or I was angry. And when somebody told me that, you know, I have anger inside of myself, I said, yeah, I don't think so. And so what I started to do in order to access my anger on the one side was literally my coach back then was teaching me to take a cooking spoon and just hit a pillow. Now, for those of you who have maybe tried that and you don't feel anger, you kind of feel a little silly, but my body started to recognize something. So it wasn't immediate, but it recognized that there was some anger there somewhere. And then the next time I actually got a little frustrated and I took that cooking spoon and hit the pillow, for example, I could access just a little bit more anger than I could before. Before I would be just frustrated and it's all good. I'd be really good at just neutralizing things really quickly, which is of course not good because it just means I was just putting a lot of coping mechanisms on top of my authentic self. And I was of course totally invisible to the right men, as you can imagine. And then sadness can be a little tougher because for me personally, I felt safer to feel sad after I was expressing the anger, because on a somatic level, it's almost unconscious that the body feels safe to cry, or the unconscious feels safe to cry when you let out all the anger, because the anger protects that vulnerable part inside of you that would feel helpless or powerless in a moment of collapse.
Absolutely. I love this definition you have of charisma too, because I think a lot of people might think of charisma as being sexy or always having this perfect witty thing to say or the perfect comeback to be playful and have this banter with a guy. But if that's not coming from an authentic expression of who you are, a man can feel that disconnect. It's almost like a movie. The best movies that really draw you in and capture your emotions and attention aren't the ones where things are happy and wonderful all the way through. It's like there's ups and downs. Just like in life. And so I think when a man sees, oh, she really embraces and loves and accepts herself, that's how I know that she's going to accept me and everything I might consider to be a flaw or something I'm insecure or feel vulnerable or weak about. And of course, that's going on a very deep subconscious level. So this is such important information, Antia. I'm loving this one too. Are we ready for the fourth feminine trait?
Yeah, that is what I call grace over punishment. You see, once you start to get to know the man, you get a little bit more in a dating routine, you start to also have moments where you have the power because you know he's invested in you. You know that he adores you. And there will be moments where you could abuse that power. So for example, we all make mistakes. And so maybe he takes the wrong turn. And so maybe you're already stressed that day anyways. And now you could make him wrong. You could emasculate him. But that's what I call grace over punishment, because you could also say, oh, hey, now we're learning a new way to take a new detour and have a new experience. And so there's actually a true story about a man who took a wrong turn, and it was actually a totally wrong turn. I mean, I think they were 100 miles off course or something like that when he noticed it. And he was like, I'm done. I'm toast. She's never going to date me again. And she's like, isn't it just a wonderful place to enjoy the sunset? And that's when he decided he's going to marry her. So it's not in moments where you want him and you're fighting for him, but he actually measures your true grace and your true authenticity in moments when you could abuse him and when you could make him wrong and when you could judge him. And if you're able to say, hey, you know what? Everyone makes mistakes, including myself, and I'm letting go of the punishment. Of course, what that takes is letting go of any programmings that you have around punishment. I mean, my mom always taught me to punish everyone. I couldn't wait to punish men because it made me feel powerful, but it also kept me lonely.
I actually haven't heard you share that before. This is huge. I really like this one. I think it's so important. Of course, we want to note that this isn't about accepting unacceptable behavior and just letting a guy come and go as he pleases, or if he's done something horrible, like cheat on you or drop off the face of the earth for months or something like that. We're not saying to just forgive him unconditionally. But I think in those moments where he shows his human side or makes a mistake, just like we do, it's important to have a partner who does show you grace and understand that you have good intentions in those moments. So I think that's really profound. Do you have anything else to say on this one, or should we move into number five?
Yeah, I love that you clarified that, Helena, because of course, I'm not condoning in any way, shape or form abuse and disrespect or anything like that. But I think the women know what I'm talking about. You know, just because you have a bad day, you project it onto the man, especially if the man is not going to leave you anytime soon. And, you know, I will include myself. I mean, I was actually the first one to punish my husband in the very beginning because I didn't know what else to do when he did something that I didn't like. One night he was out for field day with a client. Long story short, I thought he was available from lunch on, and I didn't know that he wasn't available for the rest of the day and night. And so I drove all the way from San Francisco to LA to punish him. And so that's why I'm bringing this up. You know, we know when we do something, and my husband didn't do anything disrespectful. He was just working. And I just fell short on maybe creating more clarity in my communication. And then, of course, my husband set boundaries and said, that's absolutely disrespectful. And he was right.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. I don't think I've ever heard you talk about that one either. And I think it's really helpful to have real life examples here. So are we ready to move into the fifth feminine trait that makes a man go crazy for you?
So the last feminine trait men find irresistible in women is the appreciation of the unknown. So when women come to me, usually they're high powered, they like to be in control, they love to plan, they love to know what's next. And men actually love when you can sort of appreciate the unknown. And this can also be as small as if he doesn't text you back right away, you don't go into an anxiety loop, or you don't start to make up stories that he's no longer interested in you. But instead, you actually think about creative creative ways on what to do with that, I call it tension inside of yourself when the unknown arises. And so one powerful tool that I have found that you can do when you just started dating this man and you're so excited about him, you're texting back and forth, and you're so used to always getting the smiley face or getting that last goodnight text message. And then one night he doesn't do that. And then we're immediately going into, wait a minute. So the expectations is that the man has to be consistent for this particular pattern for the rest of his life, which we don't even know if that's who he really is. And number two, wanting to get that certainty is actually going to just perpetuate the pattern that you can't be with the unknown. And then you have to ask yourself, what emotions does the unknown cause inside of myself? So for example, do I feel anxious? Do I start to feel insecure? Do I feel not good enough? Do I feel ashamed, embarrassed? And then really think about, what can you do with that emotion? Brené Brown says there's no selective dimming of emotions, and that actually shame is access to creativity. So what's the creative part that you can access in that moment? So for example, when I had anxious moments, I was writing 134 times, Selena. I don't know if you know that story. I trust, and I still have my page of proof. I write small. And so what can you do? You know, I heard someone else, she was always writing songs when she started to feel anxious, or she was stressed out because she didn't know where that relationship was headed. Because you can expect to feel anxious at some point if you experienced that in your childhood.
Yes, absolutely. It can be hard to embrace the unknown. We tend to want certainty. I know I definitely do. I want to see how things are all going to play out. And especially early in relationships, I totally understand the tendency of, I want to see where this is headed. I want to know where this is going to be 6 months down the line, a year down the line. I don't want to invest myself so I don't get hurt. And I think it's all about trusting yourself. I think the more you trust yourself and your own intuition, that can allow you to be a little more open and less grasping, so to speak, when it comes to these little situations that arise. Do you agree?
100%. And the other piece is also identifying, how do you feel? And I was just telling a client that last week, how do you feel when he does text back? Out of the sudden, you have this relief. Out of the sudden, you feel safe again. So then what if we could create that for you now without you even needing to get the text message back? We know that you're going to get the text message back. We don't know when, but would that be helpful for you? If we were to stabilize you now so that you've continued to feel secure and confident regardless of when the other person texts back or what the other person texts back.
Absolutely. Then your perception clears up and your intuition kicks in because you're not so other focused, like we talked about earlier in the episode. You're not so focused on him trying to analyze him and figure him out. When you're up in your head like that, you're cut off from your intuition, this feminine superpower that I think we all have as women. When you're trying to make something happen or steer things in the direction you want, I think we get cut off from that intuition as well. And then when that clears up and you can really see this man in situation for what it really is, you can really feel into it. And sometimes it's, I really noticed that this guy's very hot and cold and that doesn't feel good to me. Maybe this isn't in alignment with what I truly want and deserve in a relationship. So sometimes it's not the right man or situation. And those things will naturally fall away when you're really in touch with yourself and embracing the unknown rather than having this need for certainty and knowing how everything's going to all work out. Because it's just not possible to know how everything's going to unfold all the time, right?
100%. And the biggest areas that I see where women really struggle with that is setting boundaries. They don't want to be with the unknown that happens after they say something they didn't like, or maybe something that didn't work, or something they didn't feel safe with or secure with or comfortable with. And then they don't want to be with that unknown. Oh, I wonder if he's now breaking up with me, or I wonder if that was too much. I always have all those requests and I can never be just happy and easygoing. So they don't want to be with that. But imagine if you were okay with the unknown and overcome the fear that somebody's going to yell at you, or that somebody's going to just dismiss you, or that somebody is going to stonewall you. Because we have already almost an internal story and movie that we're playing when we say no and set boundaries. We already have sort of an unconscious expectation of how the other person is going to respond, which usually is not how they're going to respond.
That is so true. I'm just loving all this information, Antia. We'll recap these 5 traits in a few minutes, but I did want to get to some questions. I did an Instagram story earlier today saying that we were going to be recording this episode and asking if anyone had any questions, and a couple questions came through. Would you mind if we got to those next? Because these were really great.
That sounds fabulous.
Okay, so the first one is, how do you know how much feminine energy you have? Can you measure it in some way? I thought that was a really interesting question. Antia, do you have any thoughts on that one?
Well, the first question I had, what's the question behind the question? So in other words, if the woman would now know, okay, I have 70% feminine inside of me, why is that important for you to know? So first of all, you want to really know, how would that help you? Now, I would just give it a guess here and think that you're probably a little bit more insecure with your feminine and you're more developed in your masculine. And so I have something that's called the 6 feminine archetypes. And so I have my women assess how developed those 6 feminine archetypes are, because there's this playful part inside of us. There's the wild part inside of us. There's so many different parts inside of us. And then you can see, well, how far are they expressed on a scale of 1 to 10? So I have that for my women, if they want to know a little bit more where they stand, sort of on a scale of 1 to 10 in those individual feminine energies. And then you could add it up if you wanted to at the end.
I love how you put that. I think there's this tendency to want to make some mental concept out of feminine energy. And when we do that, again, that keeps us up in our head. And so I love when you talk about these archetypes and these different sides of ourselves that we can get into and play with. And I always come back to you, how does it feel? How are you feeling right now? Are you feeling good in your body, or are you up in your head feeling anxious, wondering what to say next? Or what is he thinking? Does he like me? Where is this going? We could probably talk for hours just on that. But I loved your answer to that one. You ready to move into the next question?
Yeah, let's go.
So the next person says, how much interest and attention to give? I went on a great date. I got a good morning text the next day, but he hasn't reached out since. Any thoughts on that one?
You know, for me, I always look at what's your balance. So are you normally the one who gives a lot, or are you the one who tends to hold back? So whatever you're doing, do the opposite of that, because if what you were doing would work, we wouldn't be here.
Absolutely. I would also be curious, did you respond to that text? If he texted you good morning, did you respond? Did you show that you were open and interested? I'd be curious to get a little more context here. But if you're the one always reaching out, always keeping things going, always suggesting the next date or the next plan, the dynamic is just off there. I think if you're asking this question, just the energy around this question, this might not be the right situation for you. What do you think about that, Antia?
And that's the thing too. It should be organic. And there should be also almost like a precedence that happened on the date that makes you feel more secure. I can't even tell you who texted who. I mean, I remember because I have to tell you, it was my husband texted first. But if I would have texted first, I don't think it would have made a difference. But it was because we had such a secure connection. There was no doubt that we're going to see each other again. Like a lot of women, and you may be in that boat too, actually don't know. There's this question mark at the end of the date. Is the man interested? And he didn't really set up something specific, or he didn't make a specific comment and he just said see you later, which is of course what I call non-committal language, and then we're hanging back in the unknown.
Exactly. I think if you said, hey, I had a great time, I'd love to see you again, or thank him for the date and express that you'd love to do this again sometime, you don't need to keep showing interest and keep showing interest. I think the right man for you, if he's truly interested, is going to pick up the ball and run with it from there, don't you think?
100%. And I think that's one of the biggest traps that women can really fall into, especially if they grew up and developed an anxious attachment style because one of their parents was emotionally unavailable or not there or abusive, whatever the case may be, because the inner child learned, oh, wait a minute, if I turn myself into a pretzel, if I'm just more patient, if I just send one more text message and say one more time hello, that's going to turn him around. That's the wrong track. If you're already on a track where you feel like you need to turn a man around, you've already attracted the wrong man, because the right man knows there's nothing to turn around, which is oftentimes in a positive way so deregulating to my women, that when they meet the right man, they want to work an effort for it, but the man already decided that they're it. There's nothing to effort for. So it takes a moment for the nervous system to get used to.
I completely agree. And that's what we want for everybody, right? A man who just knows what he wants and is pursuing you consistently, where these questions really just don't come up. And we had one other question sent in. This one applies to people who are in long-term relationships or who are married. She says, how to stay playful when you have too many responsibilities as a mom and a wife?
I love this question because most women that are in my program have kids or single moms even, and or in relationships. And I always say, when you look at the 6 feminine archetypes, see which one is not as developed. So my guess is that the little girl part, the playful part, the joyful part, the spontaneous part is not as developed. And look, I get it. You're busy. So when you do your spreadsheet, what if you just did it with color? So maybe you had a favorite color when you were growing up. And instead of doing a black and white spreadsheet where you maybe fill out the to-do list for the day or the schedules for the kids, what if you used your favorite color? So it can be something so simple. It can also be just like an incense, because when we activate our senses, you can still work and do all the things and clean the house and whatever else you need to do as a mom and wife, but you incorporate some of the feminine sensuality in that sense a little more. You could play a certain kind of music while you're doing whatever you're doing, maybe cooking, prepping dinner, driving somewhere.
I think that's great. Those little things can really shift your vibe and make a big difference. I'd also want anyone in this situation to take a look at, are you doing too much? Have you taken over too much of that masculine role, either inadvertently or you've just offered and actually explicitly taken over too much and you're feeling burnt out? So where can your partner help you with some of these things? And where can you ask for that to where you're not doing and doing and doing and feeling so burnt out at the end of the day that you can't be playful, you can't be in your feminine energy? I think that's important too. Don't you think, Antia?
Oh, 100%. If you can delegate some things or outsource some things, you know, we have a nanny who also helps us with some house cleaning and things like that. That can oftentimes bring so much joy back to a woman. I mean, even if you just have time to take a bath because of that, or get a massage, or just something like that. Or if money's a little tight, there's always some creative way where it's just about investing time with yourself. One mom literally told me, she has toddlers right now, but she has twins and she has a toddler on top of it. And she said for her to just grab a glass of wine and read a good book for 1 or 2 hours somewhere is like heaven for her. So it doesn't have to be something big. You just want to make it intentional. You want to say it's important to you, because I think as moms and as wives, you can sort of fall into that automatic pilot. It's just like, this is what it is. Monday, the schedule happens and you just kind of function and you forget, you get lost in who you are and how do you feel. It's kind of what Helena already spoke to earlier. You know, what can you do where maybe you can put your little note on your mirror in the bathroom, like, how am I feeling? Or maybe you can make yourself a little reminder on your phone and just ask a question once a day. What do I want? Or something like that, that triggers your conscious mind to focus on something for yourself that brings you joy.
That is so beautiful. I love everything you're sharing here today, Antia. I know we're already over on time, but would you like to recap these 5 feminine traits and any last words of wisdom you have to say on this topic before we close out here today? I would love to hear it.
Absolutely. So the 5 feminine traits men find irresistible in women. Number 1 was the unicorn effect. Number 2 was being self-invested. Number 3, charisma. Number 4, grace over punishment. And number 5, appreciation of the unknown. And I'm glad that you're saying that, Helena, because I wanted to throw in a little bonus. And one thing that men find so resistible in women is the cliffhanger effect. It's very simple. It's just be the first one to hang up the phone. Have something to do that you are excited to do after the date or after the phone call with the man. And the man will wonder, what does she have going on? And you automatically elevate your value in his eyes in such a simple way.
I really like that. Again, not as a game or as some kind of strategy, but it almost goes back to that second trait you talked about with self-investment, having that full, rich life that you absolutely love. And that's just going to draw a man right into that. And so this was great, Antia. Is there anything else you wanted to say on this topic or about your free quiz? Again, that'll be the first link in the description or show notes if anyone's interested.
Yeah, I guess one thing I want to reiterate, that this is not a game. This is not to manipulate. So the work really becomes, how can you become authentically connected to those energies so that you can naturally step more in your charisma, or you can become naturally more self-invested? Because you don't want to be like, I was self-invested, but it didn't work. You become more self-invested because it's a healing process. And that's part of how you function, no matter if you get the response that you want or not. So it's really important that you don't make that dependent on if you get the result or you don't get the result short term.
It's so true. You will get the results you want. It might not be with this particular guy, especially if he's not the right one for you, or if he hasn't been showing up consistently from the start. A lot of people think, oh, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, you're still focused on him. You're not focused on yourself and tuning into your true heart's desires, becoming your most authentic self and radiating that out and trusting that the right person is going to see you, know that you're the one that he wants. And that's what makes him pursue you and really fall in love. So these things are not for the effect they're going to have have on a particular man. It's for you and shifting your vibe so the right person sees you and knows that he wants to pursue you. And that's what's going to make him fall in love ultimately. It's who you are deep down, not some short-term tactic or something you do to affect him in some way. So that is beautiful. Everyone, please check out Antia's free quiz. That'll be the first link in the show notes. I'll include information if anyone's interested in private coaching with you. Antia, you are absolutely one of the top coaches. I love sending women in my community to you for coaching because you are just a genius at this stuff. Thank you so much for joining me today. This was great. I had so much fun talking with you.
Thanks for having me, Helena.
Anytime. And for everyone listening, make sure you're following my podcast. Click the follow button on my podcast homepage. I have new episodes coming out every week if you don't want to miss those. And thanks for listening. I'll talk with you again next time.
The biggest mistake women make when a man is hot and cold, acting distant, or pulling away is something called a connection barrier, and it only pushes him further away. If you'd like to read about what a connection barrier is so you don't accidentally make it, go to forever1234.com. Again, that's forever1234.com.